case of the morning, the United States versus Vasquez Pita. Mr. Hall.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Stephen Hall, and I, along with Nishay Sanin, represent the appellant, in this case, Mr. Guillermo Vasquez Pita. Your Honors, the first issue in this case deals with the disparity between districts in fast-track programming, and the government has already conceded that issue and conceded that it should be remanded based on that. So unless Your Honors have any questions based on that first issue, I'd like to proceed to the other issues before this court.
Well, we don't have to accept that concession.
Oh, I understand.
So maybe you want to take your best shot.
Well, based on United States versus Reyes-Hernandez, which this court came down with during the pendency of our appeal, the court decided that while district courts are not required to analyze the disparity between different districts and fast-track sentencing, they cannot categorically exclude that analysis. Excuse me. And in this case, Judge Pallmeyer said during the sentencing that, I am not inclined to conclude that because Mr. Vasquez Pita might be eligible for some lesser sentence in a fast-track district, that this court should impose one, however. We interpret that, and I submit to you, that that was her categorically excluding such an analysis. The government also concedes that the issue is unclear, and that is what they base their desire for remand on, as well as ours.
Well, Judge Pallmeyer excluded that consideration, not because she thought she had to, but that she was not inclined to give it any weight. Those are materially different treatments of the issue, it seems to me.
I've interpreted it slightly different in that she potentially did not believe that she could give such a sentence. I've interpreted that. I mean, the only sentence that she provided in that explanation of why she was not given a fast-track sentence or even, not given a fast-track sentence, but looking at the disparity between fast-track districts, which we briefed extensively in our sentencing memorandum and objections to the PSR, was this one sentence here before the court, as recorded in the sentencing transcript. So whether the record is unclear, as the government argues, or as we submit to you that she just categorically excluded it, I believe is an issue that we suggest should be remanded based on that, based on Reyes-Hernandez. Your Honor, with regard to the second issue in this case, Judge Pallmeyer erred in considering the arrest record of appellant Vasquez Pita in this case when handing down a sentence. That sort of analysis is categorically excluded in numerous cases, case law, and also the United States Sentencing Guidelines, specifically Section 4A1.3, which prohibits just looking at the arrest record. As Judge Pallmeyer stated, I would note as well that there are more than a dozen other arrests on other occasions. Now, of course, if you're not convicted, those don't count against you as criminal history points, but it's hard for me to believe that every one of these times was a case of mistaken identity or being picked up for something you didn't do. The fact is, apart from the time that you have been outside the United States, you have been involved in a lot of criminal activity while you are here. Now, she states that she is not considering the arrest record as part of her analysis. However, the fact that she brings it up and that she discusses it in several sentences kind of belies that assertion. Based on United States Sentencing Guidelines, Section 4A1.3, based on the precedent in this circuit, including United States versus Walker, this is not a mere bringing up of or recognizing the fact that there were arrests. Rather, this is partially basing defendant's sentence on his arrest record, which is impermissible.
And Mr. Hall, didn't she conclude that perhaps the arrest record was overstated?
She does conclude that in one portion, and she bases that conclusion upon his history of drug abuse. However, this is a separate section of her sentencing transcript, and in that section she does state that, you know, she has a hard time believing that the other arrests, not the convictions, but the arrests, were all false. You know, essentially similar to Walker stating that at some time he probably should have been convicted for something that he wasn't. For that reason, this is in error, and it's not harmless error based on the standard explained in Walker. For that, we would ask that this court remand and vacate with instructions as well.
Well, how can it be harmful error? He got a sentence significantly below the guidelines range.
He did, Your Honor. But
so your argument is it would have been even more below the guidelines range?
Absolutely.
For this error?
Absolutely.
And how can we conclude that?
Well, the analysis that we must do is not necessarily whether it's within the guideline range or without, you know, outside the guideline range, but it's one of reasonableness. And Gall versus United States from 2007 tells us that when you analyze the 3553A factors, the analysis must be one of reasonableness. And the court must explain in some manner their analysis and why that's reasonable. And we review for abuse of discretion. Well, in this case, it was not a reasonable review. The Walker court states that the standard that should be used is whether there is a reasonable likelihood that the judge would have given the defendant a lighter sentence had he ignored all the arrests that did not result in conviction. Well, clearly, Judge Pallmeyer considered the arrests.
Well, let me ask you, Paul. Do you think that's the case when we have here someone in a period of a little over 20 years has 6 felony convictions, right?
Yes.
So the fact that he may have a dozen other arrests, we're talking about a low end, and you suggest go lower.
Well, I'm suggesting
the line,
that...
The line that she has that... I don't mean to interrupt you, but the line that she has about, the other arrests, which you accurately described, seems a little de minimis, doesn't it? If we didn't have such a significant felony conviction here, number of convictions...
Well, as you stated earlier, Judge Pallmeyer even stated that his felony conviction record was somewhat overstated, as did Officer Grooms from the...
You said the arrest record was overstated.
No, the conviction. The criminal history category was somewhat overstated based on the convictions because 5 of the 6 convictions were for possession of small amounts of drugs, personal use. And he's admitted his own addiction in numerous circumstances. So,
you seem to be sympathetic to.
Well, to some degree, yes. But the fact of the matter is, you know, the arrest record should not have been considered, and I think that if...
What if she had said, or any district judge had said, well, I know he's been arrested a dozen times and says no more. Would you suggest that against the backdrop of this criminal history, the very fact of the mention should cause us to remand to make sure that the judge meant nothing by that line of mentioning a number of arrests?
No, Your Honor. I would not suggest that. And I would direct us to the case of Walker that was before this circuit, in which, you know, they found that the district court judge had found that this was a career criminal. He had far more arrests. He had far more convictions for violent crimes, 2 counts of attempted murder. And the court had said that the mention of the arrest was realistic. And then we move on to the analysis of whether it's harmful or harmless error. And in this case, I think it prejudiced the defendant. I think he would have absolutely, there was a reasonable likelihood that he would have had an even lower sentence had Judge Pallmeyer not considered his arrests. With regard to the next issue, cultural assimilation, I believe Judge Pallmeyer erred by using her discretion and using the cultural assimilation factor, as now explained in the 2010 amendments to the guidelines, against Mr. Vasquez-Pita. She did so by stating essentially that although she finds her sentence to be harsh, especially for someone who has been in the United States since the age of 5, 32 years by the time he was first deported, she's going to impose or maintain an extremely harsh sentence to persuade him not to come back again. Essentially, I understand you have cultural assimilation here. I understand that this is a very harsh sentence, but I'm going to maintain an extremely harsh sentence, if not a higher sentence than necessary, to dissuade you from coming back. And based on that, that is error. That is an impermissible application of the 3553A factors. And for that, I also ask this court to remand and vacate with instructions.
All right.
Lastly, we have the issue of whether the United States Sentencing Guideline 2L1.2 is arbitrary and invalid as applied to Mr. Vasquez-Pita, and I submit to you that it is, and again, ask for remand on this.
Thank you, Mr. Hall.
Thank you, and I request the additional time for rebuttal.
Mr. Fetter?
Good morning. May it please the Court, Seth B. Fiddle on behalf of the United States. Just want to focus in on some of the things that were brought up this morning. First of all, the issue of fast track. Judge Sykes indicated that this court is not required to agree with the government's request to remand, and that's true. But based upon the cautious reading of this record, we believe that that's the proper course of matter. The record's really not clear about what Judge Pallmeyer said about the fast-track issue. That's why we're asking for a remand in this one for that sole purpose. On the second issue about the defendant's arrest history, it's the fairest reading of this record indicates that that was just a mere passing reference by the district court. But the overriding reason of this district court was to ensure that this defendant would never return to the United States unlawfully, as he had done so in the past in 2005 and 2008. If there was an error in this case, it was harmless, because the strong remarks of this of the district court indicates that she wanted to make sure that this defendant never returns back to the United States to commit more crimes here. On the cultural assimilation argument, Your Honors, the district court considered that argument and dismissed it. She weighed the fact, she understood, she was sympathetic to the fact that the defendant was in the United States since the age of five, that he has family here, but she weighed that against the fact that, as Judge Flom indicated, he has six convictions in the United States. His first conviction took place when he was 18 years old. He's been convicted throughout his entire life. In fact, his last conviction took place when he was 40 years old. In fact, the last two convictions took place after his last deportation. He was deported in 2008, came back in 2009, and was convicted afterwards. For those reasons, Your Honor, I request that this matter be remanded solely for the purposes of allowing the district court to consider the fast-track issue in the 3553 analysis.
Thank you, Mr. Fetter. Mr. Hall.
Thank you, Your Honor. I realize my time is brief. Just focusing on the arrest issue, even if it's a passing reference, still, as we discussed earlier, the court in Walker holds that if it's a harmful error, if prejudice results, then even the passing reference deserves to, be remanded. And I think...
It impacted. What would suggest to you that it impacted? Just the bottom line sentence?
Not necessarily the bottom line sentence, because, as Judge Sykes pointed out earlier, it was a below-guideline sentence. So we can't just look at the timeline. We have to look at at Judge Pallmeyer's reasoning. And in her reasoning, as I explained in the quote earlier, she notes on more than one occasion in three sentences that he has many arrests and he has been arrested for many times.
Judge Pallmeyer said, and I also note he's had significant contact with the criminal justice system, which is a line not uncommonly found in records. Would you ask us in a setting like that to send it back to make sure that it wasn't referencing arrests versus convictions?
I can't really speculate on that, but in this situation at hand, I think it's clear that their prejudice resulted.
All right.
My time is up. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Hall. Thank you, Mr. Fetter. And Mr. Hall, you have an additional thanks of the court for accepting the appointment in this case. Case is taken under advisement.